Wonderful time for us to gather together for worship. I was thinking, I hope everyone feels the way I do as we come together, such a unifying time to focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to begin the week together as the church. And yes, how majestic is His name. And thinking also to a powerful parable that we will hear later in our message, I wanted us to hear the words that God tells us, that we read about in Mark 9, verse 7. He says, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." And so let's continue to listen to Jesus this morning as we pray at this moment. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for welcoming us into your presence. We know that you have called us together, and with that brings responsibility, brings focus that we are praying comes upon us right now. Guide us as we are here gathered together as your church to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be aware of your commands and your love and grace that moves us, and we pray moves us throughout the week. And we pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand and turn in hymnal number 538. "Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know." Let's stand as we sing, please.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today to hear your word. Father, we ask that you might bless those that are sick, hurting, and need your healing and soothing hand. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
everybody just a few more seconds to come down. Always room. Any children that want to come down during this time. And you can also bring your worship bags anytime you're walking this way. Keep them with you the whole service. You sit right here. Anywhere. Good morning. Love to see all of you sitting here. And this morning, I want to make sure you can all see this. Somebody tell me what that is. It's a ball. That's what I want us to think about right now. This is a ping pong ball. But I want you to tell me, what are all the different games you can play with using a ball? Any game that uses a ball, what are they?
Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. Basketball. Good. What else? Soccer uses a ball. Give me some more. Football uses a ball. Tennis uses a ball. Volleyball. We can go on and on, right? There's a lot of games that use a ball. I mean, you can even just throw a ball back and forth. And the one common thing with all the games that use a ball is you have to keep your eye on the ball, right? You have to watch it. You have to see it, right? If not, you wouldn't know where the ball is. Well, this morning, we're going to learn about Simon Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he wasn't playing with a ball, but he needed to keep his attention on Jesus in a very similar way. Because if he didn't, we're going to read what happens, okay? He would be lost. So I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 30. It's an amazing story where Simon Peter gets to do something really cool. So I want you to listen to it, and then after that, hear what happens, okay? It says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed the crowd, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray." That's Jesus. "Evening came and he was alone, but the boat was already a far distance from land, buffered by the waves because the wind was against the boat. During the fourth watch of the night," listen to this, "Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified." I probably would be too. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Listen to what Peter said. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to the water and walk on, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and walked toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, and cried out, "Lord, save me." That's an amazing story if you think about it. Jesus was walking on the water towards the boat. And then Simon Peter asked Jesus to call him out, and he got to walk on water. How amazing would that be, right? But Simon Peter started to sink. And you may wonder, well, why would Simon Peter start to sink walking towards Jesus? Well, that's because he took his focus off of Jesus. He started to think about the wind, and he started to think about how scared he was, and he wasn't trusting Jesus anymore. And so he started to sink. And so this morning, I want us to think all week, when you're praying with your family, how we can always trust in Jesus. It's easy to start trusting in Jesus at the beginning of something, maybe when you first accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, right? But you have to always trust Jesus in everything you do. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, teaching us to trust in him. Show us how to do that every day this week. We love you, Lord. Amen. So don't move. Stay right here. And I'm going to ask Carol to come forward. And we want anybody with VBS who worked this summer, as Carol comes forward, and I'll let her come up here and give the rest of the instruction, because I want you all to stay right here. And we have a special presentation and a word from Carol and some VBS workers.
Could I have every student that was at Vacation Bible School or made a block on this, painted a block on this quilt, to come up here and stand?
So y'all can come on up here and stand right on each side of Carol and Karen right here. Y'all go ahead. Walk all the way back there. Get close. Walk behind her. You can go on the other side too.
Okay, this is a special presentation of the 2015 Vacation Bible School. That sounds like a TV announcement, I know, but this year we wanted to do something special to honor Gail Bridges, who's been teaching Bible school since 2003. Gail was unable to teach Bible school this year because of her illness, and she was sorely missed, and it just wasn't the same without her. Karen Gaines was our craft leader this year, and she came up with the idea of a pinwheel quilt because we have the Gale Force pinwheels in our community in honor of Gale. So I bought the fabric, and she experimented with the paint and the pinwheels to determine the best way to paint the fabric that these children could handle. So this project was really Karen's brainchild, and I'd like to thank her for organizing this whole thing. Every single person at Vacation Bible School, students, teachers, youth helpers, and the VBS committee members have their name somewhere on this quilt. We wanted to show the children up here how their handiwork came together and at the same time honor Gail Bridges for her service and dedication to Flat Springs Baptist Church Vacation Bible School. She started in the nursery in 2003 and she began teaching the 3 and 4 year old class in 2004. And the 3 and 4 year olds got too big so that we split those up and Gail took the 4 year olds. Gail loved and enjoyed Bible school. Believe me, she did every single activity in the book that they suggested, and anybody that's ever taught Bible school knows that's a whole lot. She spent countless weeks, days, and hours preparing for those four-year-olds, as every teacher does, but Gail went all out. I remember scouring the fabric stores for a boa and some feathers and all kinds of things for her. Today, the Flat Springs Baptist Church Vacation Bible School would like to present this pinwheel quilt, which was a labor of love, to Stephanie Bridges and Anna Phillips on behalf of their mother, Gail Smith Bridges, for her love and dedication to the children of our church and community and her outstanding service to Vacation Bible School. We love and support you, Gail, and will always remember you and keep you in our daily prayers. May God bless you. The monogrammed inscription on the quilt says, Pinwheels for Gail, VBS 2015. And I would like for every single person that had anything to do with Bible school to please stand so you can see how many quilt blocks were painted and how many names are on this thing. All you youth that helped and everybody. That would be Gary and Matt and the committee. Okay, thank you.
Catch the sparrow when it falls.
Time that I was being led when I was developing the worship service for today, that they were doing the quilt, the Gale Force quilt. But this next song speaks to how we all get through rough times. Be strong in the Lord. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
make sure to give everyone time to retrieve the insert there. You'll see there's a leader portion, and the people portion is what you will respond with in bold as I read the leader portion. Titled, The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed.
It seems so small.
The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed.
Like a mustard seed, full of potential, a miracle waiting to happen. We declare that our faith in God contains the potential to transform lives, mine and others.
You may be seated.
What a wonderful worship experience we've already experienced this morning. For our VBS children and their work, and our focus for a moment or two in the midst of our worship on one who is so faithful as we continue to pray for Gail. I have other names I'd like to add to our prayer list. I know that the Marks family's had an extremely tough week in the loss of Billy's brother Albert, and then also Lula Mae Clark, who passed away. We want to be remembering this family in a very, very special way. You'll see other names there. We want to be remembering Debbie Hurley, who will be undergoing surgery this Tuesday. We want to be remembering Jimmy Bridges, who will be undergoing surgery this Friday. And then we're glad to have Miss Arlene back with us. I'm pretty sure she's over on the other side, but she had difficulties with her eye, and she asked that we remember her neighbor, whose name is Joe George, who Miss Arlene said has the tick fever. I know that can be several varieties, but he is very, very sick, and she asked that we remember him in our prayers in a very special way. You'll see this list of names of folks who are dealing with different things. God gives us the opportunity to come alongside them, not only in prayer, but also in acts of love, and being there in many different ways that God will give us opportunity. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to a moment of prayer in the midst of our worship, we begin today praising your name and asking for more strength, that we could be strong in you when we face the adversities of life, when we face the unknown, when we face sickness, when we face death, when we face bad decisions and bad choices, when we suffer the consequences of others who've made bad choices or decisions, when we try to determine our own purpose on this earth, in this community, in this church, within our family. God, we come as travelers today on a journey, one that often, Lord, gives us opportunities to be sidetracked and sidelined from the journey with you. Give us eyes and ears to see and hear your voice and follow you even when we walk in the darkness. And as Luann sang, Lord, we often stand in need of miracle, but Lord, if it's our cross to bear, give us strength to praise you, knowing that our destiny is our eternity with you. And Heavenly Father, we do lift the names of each one on this list to you. And each one who is on our heart or on our mind today. And ask that you might bless, as you know there is the need for the blessing. And whether it be the miracle of healing or the bearing of the cross, we pray, O God, that you might give us praise in our heart and in our life. And our human strength can't do that, but your Holy Spirit can. So we pray, O God, for your Spirit to fall fresh on us today. In Christ's name we pray.
Oh,
I'm okay with applause, but I love amen. I just how I am. So, and the people said,
amen.
Amen. Y'all can do better than that. And the people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Well done. Thank you, Luann, for a powerful song. Indeed, it has been a blessed day of worship to this point. Puts pressure on the preacher when you have a day like this. I'll see what I can do. Take your Bibles, open with me to Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter. We continue the great stories that Jesus told, the parable. It means to throw alongside the word parabolos, which means Jesus would throw a truth alongside. He would give a teaching, and then he would give us a truth, a story. He would challenge us to think. And today he gives us that challenge in two little metaphors, two little parables, two little comparisons of the kingdom of God. Yeast or leaven and a mustard seed. We're going to begin to read in verse 18, and we're going to read through verse 21. If you're able this morning, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? The he in our text is Jesus. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nest in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. That's a little over a bushel of flour. Until it was all leavened. Until it all became sourdough bread, one of my favorites. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us just a little about little things? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision is 563, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. 563. You'd mark that. That will be our hymn at the conclusion of our worship this morning. Have you ever noticed that you can just miss a word and give a strange meaning to something? I read something this week on top 10 classified ads. Now, these are all wrong. They're all wrong, but they showed up in somebody's paper. The first one was wanted. Man to take care of a cow that does not smoke or drink. I don't know too many cows that smoke or drink, but who knows? Another one said, try us once and you'll never go anywhere ever again. Well, must be a nice place. It says, dog number 8. Dog for sale, eats anything and is fond of children. That just doesn't quite go together, does it? Number 7, illiterate. That means can't read or write. Write today for free help. Number 6, stock up and save, limit 1. Number 5, man wanted to work in a dynamite factory, must be willing to travel. I don't know about that. Number 4, the semi-annual after Christmas sale. Semi-annual after Christmas sale. Well, okay. Number 3, for sale, antique desk suitable for lady with thick legs and large drawers. Now, that's desk drawers. That's desk drawers. They needed that word in there. Number 2, we do not tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand. I don't think that's what they meant either. And the number 1 was used cars. Why go anywhere else and be cheated? Come here first. I don't think that's what he meant. Little things make a difference, don't they? Have you ever thought of something you wish you'd said? Something you wish you'd done? I think I have more regret in things I wish I hadn't said, things I wished I hadn't done. Jesus, as he gives us this great image of the kingdom of heaven, and as our responsive reading reminded us, can you imagine when you hear this great teacher say, Let me tell you, I want to explain to you what the kingdom of heaven is like. You're saying, oh boy, this is going to be good. I mean, this is going to be the greatest thing I can imagine. This is going to be fantastic. He says, like a mustard seed. You say, what? Really? A mustard seed. You know, you could just barely stab a mustard seed with a pin. The pin's almost bigger than the seed. It's tiny. It comes in little pods. It's a tiny little thing. And no doubt, if I'm coming before God, Jesus in another passage said, if you had faith like that of a mustard seed, not a bunch of mustard, a mustard seed, one tiny mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, be moved, and it would move. Kingdom of heaven is beyond our ability to think and understand that, and I think that's what he's trying to tell us. Then he goes on to give that second illustration of leaven, of taking a little bit of yeast and put it in a great deal, just a little bit of God in the midst of a great big me can make a tremendous difference when I mix it up or when I plant it deep in my heart and nurture it. Let me quickly this morning give us some truths about the mustard seed, especially the mustard seed. Start small. A little can make a big difference. Start small. The mustard seed, it's the smallest herb seed. I did some reading and saw some things, and it's not like the mustard that we go out when we're planting our greens here, but this mustard, although I actually saw a gentleman pick it off of a tree or a tree-like bush. In reading, the idea was that usually birds don't nest in mustard plants, even in the Near East. But some have said that maybe had he said all the birds, meaning that maybe this was one of those illustrations, a parable about the Gentiles, you and me being included in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know, that's all Jesus told us. But he's reminding me, I think his emphasis is on small. Start small. Start small. I think it's easy to underestimate the power of a little seed. It's easy to underestimate the power of little choices, of little decisions, of little things we do or don't do. It is amazing to me how many times in my ministry folks have done what they consider to be very little, and people have received them as some of their greatest gifts. That's how God works, to change. I wonder today where we might plant a mustard seed in our life. I wonder where we might need a little bit of change. I wonder if there's one habit that maybe today we could begin very smallly by saying, I just want to begin to address that habit. Maybe there's something we need to do, a new small habit we need to plant, a ministry habit, I called it. You know, we've had a strange church year this year. God has blessed us with an abundance, but in the midst of that, as of last Sunday, we're $9,839.47 behind the budget. That's strange for Flat Springs. I don't remember us ever being in this place. I remember one year we adjusted the budget, and then we not only met the budget that we had originally set, but we adjusted it mid-year. We passed not only the new one, but we actually met the old one. You are a generous people, and for that I'm grateful, and I believe God's grateful. But in light of that reality, we were speaking in the diaconate meeting this past Thursday night, and in our conversation, in our concern, because we understand that our budget is that important ingredient where we move forward, we thought, what would happen if we just unofficially ask everyone to prayerfully consider the last Sunday in August? It's catch-up Sunday. A Sunday when, if God has blessed you and you can, bring a little extra of what you normally bring. Or maybe you know you're not going to be here the last Sunday, and you could bring it the Sunday before or the Sunday after. Now, we we're also very careful. We know we have folks who sacrificially give. They give all that they possibly can, and we're not talking to you because you bless us, and we receive that blessing, and we don't want you to do anything. We don't want anybody to do anything. But to the rest of us, to the rest of us who maybe it would not be, it may just mean that we have to leave off a coffee or two or a donut or two or eating out a time or two. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God, and I've been here long enough. You know, I don't preach a whole lot about giving. I mention it, and it's important. Because I learned, I think maybe somebody asked the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians to preach a sermon on giving, and that's where he came up with that idea of the foolishness of preaching. I just don't think it has a awful lot of effect. But what I do know is the Holy Spirit of God has a powerful effect, and mustard seed planting of the Holy Spirit can grow some great things. Have you ever wondered why we often talk about tithes and offerings? What's the difference between a tithe and an offering? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. A tithe is that portion that we need to maintain the church. That's where our staff is hired. The utilities and our insurance are secured. Sunday school literature is purchased. Office supplies are bought. And even more important as all of that is, it is that portion, that general offering, that offering today, that first line item, that's where we do our mission giving. 10% of all you bring to us, we pass on through the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention and through the CBF, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. That's where missionaries are funded, is through that money. It is indeed a wonderful opportunity. Someone has said, your church doesn't do fundraisers, do you? And I say, we do a fundraiser every Sunday. It's called the offering. We pass the plate. We ask God's people, who God has blessed, to faithfully share as God has blessed them with. Well, then, if that's what a tithe is, that means 10%. It's a good starting place. I'm not all that excited. Some might need to come in at 8% or 7%. Some might need to be at 15% or 20%. Depending on how God has blessed us. But that's that starting for the everyday operation of Flat Springs Baptist Church. You'll notice in the back of your bulletin that our budget requirements are $6,308 today. And I know you're already looking at that board and you're saying, but preacher, look over your shoulder. I've already looked over my shoulder. I know today, the first Sunday's a good day. And thank you again for your faithfulness. But can I remind us all of the truth? And I'm going to come back to offerings. God doesn't need our money. The psalmist is right when he says that all the cattle on 1,000 hills, they're his. Remember when we sang that song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He made it. It's his. He gives us an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God, to come alongside him with mustard seed-like faith. What are those offerings? Those are the monies we give beyond our tithe, beyond the daily support. That's when we give to Lottie Moon and to Annie Armstrong and the Global Mission Offering. That's when we give because there are special needs that come our way. And we are blessed with generous people. Look at it today and wonder, I wonder where a mustard seed in your giving might come from. Could it be that if you bring $20 to the church on Sunday, you could prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit about a mustard seed increase? Not a lot, just as the Lord leads you. Well, where else might we be planting mustard seed? How about in our conversation? Who did we invite to Christ this week? I've told folks, and they sometimes look at me and say, what did the preacher say? But I want you to listen. You can't stop halfway through my point I'm fixing to make, okay? I've told folks to stop inviting folks to church. Stop inviting folks to church. Now, if you stop listening right now, I'm in trouble, okay? I'm just going to tell you, I'm in trouble. If you go out and quote me, the preacher said, first, invite people to Jesus Christ. In the 50s, you could invite them to church. in 2015, you've got to invite them to Jesus Christ first. You've got to let them know that Jesus Christ died for them. They're not interested in the church. We've got too much bad press. And they know too many of us. And they've seen us too much like them. They don't want to come to church. But I believe in my heart of hearts, there's not a person who, when they understand who Jesus Christ is, does not want to come to the one who loved them so much that he died on Calvary's cross to provide a way to heaven for them. That may be all you have to say. Would you like to love the person who died to make sure you could go to heaven? And if they say yes, say then, well, would you come to our church? After you do that, invite them to church. But don't invite them to church first. Invite them to Christ. Who could we plant a seed in someone's life? A mustard seed of faith. How about forgiveness? Who do we need to forgive? Where could we plant that mustard seed of forgiveness? And you know, probably where we need to plant it? In our own heart. Oh, if there's one that we're having a trouble forgiving, we're struggling with forgiveness. I've struggled with forgiveness. I know what it's like. I've laid awake at night saying, Lord, I can't forgive that person. And I know you told me I got to forgive that person. What am I going to do with that? And I have seen 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock come on my clock because I just couldn't sleep. Today maybe you could say, I can't forgive that person totally, but could we plant a mustard seed? A Holy Spirit-blessed mustard seed of our trust of who God is to say, plant within my life the kingdom of God. We often think it needs a lot to get started. I would be willing to do that if I had all this other stuff. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like the tiniest seed that if I held one up right here, not even Matt could see it on the front row because it's too small. He says, plant that. Plant just that much of me in your life and see what I can do. Secondly, we've got to stay committed. We've got to stay committed once the seed has been planted for it to be healthy, to grow. The seed of the kingdom of God, it's planted in our life, but we've got to nurture it. Use my metaphors, if you would. We've got to water it with the Word of God. We've got to be in God's Word. We've got to remove the weeds through worship. I want us to understand how important worship is. This isn't something we do every Sunday just because we think it's something we ought to do. We understand this is important. It's important for the children who come down and sit at Matt's feet. It's important to hear this choir after they give so much of their time and sing those praises to God that we enter into those praises and we do say amen. So be it in our life. We need to nurture it. We need to fertilize it through fellowship. We need to make sure we keep working and working and working to allow God's mustard seed faith in us to grow and to be all that it can be. Can you imagine? I don't know if everybody here is garden savvy. Everybody know what Roundup is? I'm not talking about something they do out west when they go get the animals. I'm talking about a herbicide. I'm talking about a grass and weed killer. I'm talking about a thing that will kill, but it kills indiscriminately. You can spray it on a piece of grass right by your bean plant, and it will kill that grass. But you know what? If you spray it on your bean plant, guess what it'll do? It'll kill your bean plant, too. Can you imagine going out and watering your garden? I mean, just soaking all of the plants. Say you've got this beautiful garden. It's been growing and growing, and it's just looking marvelous. And you go out and say, I'm going to water it. And you grab the wrong container. Instead of grabbing a sprayer that you thought was full of water, you grab a container that's full of Roundup, and you spray your garden. You know, when it first goes on, it looks harmless. It looks like water. And for a second or two, those plants will say, oh, wonderful, water's coming. This is marvelous. And they'll soak it in through those leaves just like they do water, and they'll send it down to their roots, to the roots, because that's where plants find their nourishment. And then it will poison them. And it will kill them. Some of us might be here today and say, I have planted the mustard seed faith in my heart and life, and I nurtured it through the Word and through worship and through fellowship. I was doing the right thing, and then somehow I took my eye off the ball like Peter walking on the water, and I started seeing this and that, and before long, I don't know, it started pouring all over me, and I thought it was water. But today, by the Holy Spirit of God, I know it wasn't water. It was spiritual Roundup. I have taken my eyes off God, and my spirit is withering and dying. I've got good news. I don't know a cure for Roundup. If you spray it on your garden, till it in and start again. That's all I got. But I want to tell you today, if you're here and the world has infected your life, you can walk down this aisle today, or you can simply stand where you are and you can pray to God and you can say, God, forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner, and living water will wash away this world and you'll be renewed. And a new mustard seed plant will be planted in your life and you can go forward. Isn't that good news? That's the message of the church. Finally this morning, I love that image of that mustard seed plant stretching out and growing. There'll be a day when the least shall be the greatest. If God just plants a little mustard seed in my life, I may never be the greatest preacher. Probably never will be. May not be the greatest husband, the greatest dad. But God will take me and He'll use me. He'll take you. He'll make what was small greater. He'll do a work in our life that only He can do. Where do we need to stretch today? Maybe some of us have been like, that seed's been planted, but somehow it never got the nourishment it needed. It never got to be cultivated. That seed's just in my life, but it's really not planted. It's kind of like it's still in the jar. I kind of put the seed in my life, but I never took it out of the jar. I never really planted it in my heart. And today, I'm going to plant it because I need to stretch. How about our relationships? Where do we need to stretch? How about social media? Where do we need to stretch? How about our jobs or school? Where do we need to stretch? Oh, I love this image. Go back to Jesus. I'm going to add to His metaphor, if I could, just a moment. A thought that came to me as I was preparing the sermon. Because you know what I've been saying over and over? The Holy Spirit. Don't give a nickel because I told you to. Give a nickel because the Holy Spirit told you to. Don't say a word to another person because I told you to. Say another word to another person because the Holy Spirit told you to. Don't make a change in your life because I told you to. Make a change in your life because the Holy Spirit told you to. Here's the image I want you to look at. Plant that mustard seed, and in that great bush, I saw one got up about 14 feet high on that video. Then I want you to see a bird that's coming and landing, going to make its nest. And you know what the bird is? It's a white dove. It's a white dove. You know what a white dove represents? The Holy Spirit. Oh, I wonder if today there's some of us who need to say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my life. I need you to come and make a nest in all that's been growing in my life. I need you to bring the refreshing power that only you can bring. I want to stretch and grow. I want to do more. I want to give more. I want to be more. I want to stand before you and hear you one day say, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Sometimes I ask myself after I've had a really hard day, if I die tonight and all God had to go on was how I live today, what would be the first thing He said to me? It might be my grace is sufficient. I might not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I might just hear, my grace is sufficient. But I want to hear, well done. Don't you? Well done, good and faithful servant. What is the kingdom of heaven like? It's like a mustard seed that a man planted in his garden, the least of all the seeds. And when it grew up, there was room for the Holy Spirit to descend like a dove as it did on Jesus' shoulder when He was baptized. And say, This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for starting small. Just a mustard seed. Today, there may be some one of us here who has a habit, who has a need, who has an area in our life of our stewardship, with our time, with our talent, with our money, who need you to plant within us and cultivate within us a growing Holy Spirit that we might stretch forth and make a difference in your world. God, you know our heart, you know our need. You know decisions that if we made them today, those small decisions that we might make in these next few moments might change everything. Give us strength to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 563, Jesus Receiveth Sinful Men. Today, if you need to make some decision for our Lord, would you do so as we stand together? Would you be seated for just a moment? We have coming today a family that has been with us for, I know, a year and a half, 2 years, coming very faithfully. And in conversation with them, they feel that the Lord would have them, on statement of their faith, come to us from a sister church. They have been baptized by immersion, and they come today presenting themselves for membership at Flat Springs Baptist Church. And you probably need to know who it is, right? This is Chris and Rose. We were joking about it, Julie and Stephen Cameron. And like I said, they've been coming very faithful. Do I hear a motion that we receive them into our membership?
Motion.
Motion, second. All those that would join me in welcoming them, would you let it be known by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Welcome. We're going to try hard to be the church that you need us to be. And we're going to need you to help us to be that church. So we are just delighted that now officially you are. I'm going to be a part of this church family. I'm going to ask you to stand with me at the door and let people come by and greet you and promise their prayers. Would you please stand with me? What a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I got some things to say. I'm trying to do better with this announcing, and so now I got to find them. One tonight at 5:30, you're going to be invited because Miss Becca is going to be sharing her trip of 3 months. Was it 3 months? 4 months to China. Many have asked to hear about that. So she's going to be over in our fellowship hall sharing about that. Also, our youth had a good week. Good to see them back, all retreated and ready to roll. That's exciting. And to those that are in the children, and we have a large group going to be going for an outing, a fellowship outing today at Frankie's Fun Park. Be there at 2 p.m. And then one thing we need a little bit of help. We found our library this morning in a little disarray, some stuff kind of messed up, if you could just help us keep a close eye. If you go in and get a book, just leave the card there and probably make sure we don't have children unattended in the library. That would be a tremendous help as well. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His mustard seed faith people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, we delight today in a new family feeling Your leadership and desire that they unite with our church. And we're grateful for now these official new brothers and sisters in our church family. And God, as we move forward into Your future, there is great work to do. Help us to be not only planting that seed in our heart and our life, but casting that seed as we go in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.